Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is whose house?
God.
It's God's house, and we're privileged to be able to come in and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. We have the title of our message this morning is "To Whom Do Christians Belong?" And it's not a trick question, and I think all of us here know the answer, that we belong to Christ. Well, how can we identify those persons who belong to Christ? Our text this morning comes from the Paul's letter written to the church at Rome, and he gives us several characteristics or features which allow us to identify those who belong to Jesus. And it's found in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 7 through 11. And I invite you to follow along as I read Romans 8, 7 through 11. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. May God add His blessing to our reading and hearing and studying of His Word. At the beginning of verse 9 in our text, Paul implies that there is a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. In verses 7 through 8, he describes what we are like as non-Christians. What Paul calls living according to the sinful nature or having a sinful mindset. He says that defines us as non-Christians. And as non-Christians, we have three flaws which identify us to others or certainly identify us to God. Or one flaw expressed in three different ways. In those verses, he says, we are hostile and insubordinate to God. We cannot submit to God's law because our corruption and rebellion are so deep, and we cannot please God. In those two verses, he identifies the non-Christians in this way. They won't obey God's law, they won't try to please God, they cannot please God, and they are hostile to God. So our condition, our plight, and our identity are as non-Christians when we are living according to the sinful nature. When we have not rid ourselves of the sin by accepting Christ as our Savior. And at the beginning of verse 9, the issue is, what is different about Christians? The verse begins, you, meaning Christians, you, however. So there is a group of people who are different from those described in verses 7 and 8, and these people are called Christians, followers of Christ. Well, what is a Christian? One's family does not determine if he or she is a Christian. Being a Christian does not occur because one is baptized. Being a Christian is not determined by whether a person attends a Christian school. Being a Christian is not determined by which church a person attends or to which denomination he or she belongs. In verses 9 through 11, Paul describes five ways Christians are unlike those who are living according to the sinful nature. And the first way, or the first distinguishing feature which sets Christians apart from the rest of the world, is the Holy Spirit dwells within Christians. Verse 9 states, you, talking about Christians, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Christians are different from non-Christians because the Spirit of God lives within us. Paul is saying that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, resides in us. The Spirit refers equally to God the Father as well as to God the Son, Jesus. And listen to what Jesus said, the way he expressed the same thought while he was still here on earth. We read in John 14, 16 through 18, and this is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying that I've got to leave. And remember, the disciples who walked this earth with him had a difficult time with this concept. Why was Jesus have to leave? He'd only had his ministry basically going for 3 years or so. But he says, I have to leave, but him who sent me, God, will send someone to counsel you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The sinful world, those who live according to the sinful nature, those who have a sinful mindset, will not accept the Spirit because they cannot see him, and of course they do not know him. But he goes on to say that we will know him, and he will be with us and be within us. So as Christians, we are never without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit, God's Spirit, and Jesus' Spirit. Therefore, the Spirit of Jesus is with us and in us, and we live so others will see Jesus in us. The second distinguishing feature which sets Christians apart from the rest of the world is Christians are under the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 states that very fact, that Christians are controlled by the Holy Spirit because the Spirit lives within us. This verse teaches that the Spirit is the decisive influence in our life. It's not our spouse. It's not our parents. It's not our employer. It's not some mentor. It's not some evangelist on television. It's the Holy Spirit will be the decisive influence in a Christian's life. If the Spirit lives within us, we have come from the power of darkness. We have moved out of the realm of the jurisdiction of Satan and into the power of God. The Spirit has broken dominion of the sinful nature over our lives, and we no longer live according to that nature. The Holy Spirit transforms us inwardly. There's an inward transformation which makes us free to serve Jesus. It is creating a new heart and a new mind for us, conformed to Jesus, so that we can delight in what he commands us to do. And the key here, as in each of these features or these character traits, is that we let others see those traits in us. That's what sets us apart, are the traits. But if we don't do anything to let others know that we are children of God, then how do they know that we are followers of Christ? The third distinguishing feature which sets a Christian apart from the rest of the world is Christians belong to Jesus. Now, we've said that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that Christ is within us. But the last sentence of verse 9 says, "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." And I believe the reverse of that is true. Also, if you do have the Spirit of Christ, you do belong to him. So as Christians, we should think of ourselves as belonging to Christ, as his possessions. And the two ways that Christ makes us his possession is by purchase and by habitation. Jesus bought us with his blood that he shed on the cross for our sins, not for any sin he had committed because he was sinless, but he bought us his blood shed on the cross, and he inhabits us by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So if you are a Christian, you are not on your own. You belong to Jesus, and people will know this from your actions. The fourth distinguishing feature which sets Christians apart from the rest of the world is Christians' spirits are alive because Christ dwells within them. We know that. We've already covered that. Therefore, making them righteous. Now, one way that Christians are like mortals that Paul mentions in here is that we're all going to die as far as living on this earthly planet. We're mortals. We are going to die. But two facts make our spirits different. The gift of righteousness caused by the presence of Christ. We do not need to wait for the redemption of our bodies to be spiritually alive. The righteousness is in us now because we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Because we have accepted him as our Lord, we have become righteous enough to be in the presence of God so that when we do die on this earth, we can be with him. But we have that righteousness because Jesus is in us. We are alive to God through Jesus Christ, and we can never die. There's one last distinguishing feature which sets Christians apart from the rest of the world. Christians' mortal bodies will be raised. When Christians die, our living spirit separates from the mortal body for a time, but such separation shall not last forever. Verse 11 of our text states, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus," talking about God, "from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Our resurrection as Christians is just as certain as Jesus' resurrection. God has promised that. And we know, we've talked about this numerous times from this pulpit, where there is not one iota of evidence to prove that anything God promised has not been fulfilled. Now, there are promises that have not been fulfilled because it's not time for them to be fulfilled. But scholars, secular scholars, biblical scholars, scientists, atheists, Christian educators have researched this basically from the death of Jesus, and they have yet to find one example of Jesus, of God's promise not being fulfilled. So our resurrection is certain because the Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead also is in us. It dwells within us. God didn't create us to our bodies to throw them away. Jesus didn't purchase us to lose us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And just as Jesus raised the temple of his body from the dead, so will he raise us and live in us forever and ever. So if you are living without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not possess the distinguishing characteristics or features that we've talked about, then let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit does not dwell within you, and you do not live under the power of the Holy Spirit. You do not belong to Jesus. Your spirit is not alive because Jesus does not dwell within you and make you righteous. And your mortal body will not be raised to live eternity in heaven. And God gave us the choice. From the very beginning, we talked about this briefly in Bible study Wednesday night. We were talking about absolute truth and relative truth. And we were talking about God's will and how people who suffer bad things or see others suffer bad things say, oh, that was God's will. No, I don't believe that. God's will from the very beginning was that we live in paradise, that we never have to work, that we have all the food we needed, that we have all had all the beauty to enjoy. But he gave us the choice to accept that or to follow Satan's direction, to follow, to succumb to his temptation. And Adam and Eve did that. And so I think Satan sometimes influences us to thwart or to act not in accordance with God's will. I don't think God's will is that a drunk driver kill a family in another vehicle. But I want us to think about that. But we have the choice. We can be a child of God. We can be a Christian. We can belong to Jesus. We can have the Holy Spirit in control of us. We can have a resurrection of our mortal bodies and live in eternity. Christians belong to Christ, which endows them with the features which we discussed this morning. So if you desire to possess these characteristics, then you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. You need to trust him. Jesus will make you his own. If you don't, then this is all there is. This earth, and when you die, that's it. But if you accept him, he will make you righteous enough so that your mortal body will, when it is raised, it will be raised from the dead, and you can stand in God's presence for eternity. If you would like that, if you are a Christian, let me say this, if you are a Christian, then you need, and you have these characteristics, and you should, if you've truly accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to let others see that you act in accordance with these characteristics, that they can look at you in your daily activity, not when you come to church, but they can look at you from day to day in social settings, in work settings, in civic meetings, whatever, and say, that man or that woman is a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, we invite you to come forward this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation and accept God's gift of salvation by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come as we sing hymn number 295.